If you didn't get one of those cool postcards with a calendar on it, please grab one. It's got some dates on it. It can go on your fridge to remind you of some of those. Just actually got one announcement that I want to put on there. It's wait, let me find it. It's for the men, actually. We'll find it now. Just give us a moment. There we go. Cool, look at this, guys. There's an outreach happening. X-Men, it's called. Okay. So this is for guys. It's a hog roast and beer tasting men's night. Okay, so this is specifically for you to invite guys that won't necessarily come to church or maybe small groups, something like that. So what this is basically these professional lumberjack guys. Okay, you can't read all of it now, but they're professionally trained. They were around before the chainsaws and the things were there, and they could do amazing stuff with like serious axes and things. And they do like a demonstration, and it's the whole thing about lumberjacking and axe, how to use an axe and stuff. It's really manly, and it's actually a display sport now. So that's what they're doing. They read here from they come, watch the Adams Axemen turn the ancient art of unmechanized lumberjacking into a display sport. Trained before the days of chainsaws, these professional lumberjacks combine manliness and competitive skill with their axes and cross-cut saws. Okay, so there will be a hog roast and there will be beer tasting, and it's £12. It's at the Chestnut Grove School Sports Hall, and it's run by Christchurch Balham, and it's just a great opportunity for us to, it's just to combine, to work together with other churches, but also just to reach out to men. So if you know somebody that you want to invite, please do that. It's happening on the 17th of May at 7:30 for start at 8, and I reckon it can be lots of fun. There will also be a short talk by this guy called Pete Woodcock. I've heard him speak, really dynamic evangelist. I think it will just be a short, just punchy message just to bring the message through. So please take this opportunity, okay, to invite guys. I'll have to just email this through as well. Okay. Great stuff. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord, we thank you that as we draw near to you, Lord, we come, Lord, and we're just reminded, Lord, that around us the world is so performance based, as Sally was saying, Father. There's a lot of performance mentality out there, Father. But thank you that we can come to you not by our performance, not by what we have accomplished or what we have achieved, Lord, but we can come to you through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And then we can come with open hearts, Lord. We can come with an expectation, Lord. We can come with our heads lifted high, Lord. And thank you, God, that you have called us sons and daughters, Lord. You've called us your own, Lord. You've bought us with a price, God. And tonight, this morning, Lord, we open our hearts, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can set aside, we can consecrate this time specifically, Lord. Our lives are yours, God, but this time specifically, Lord, set aside for you to have your way in us, Lord, for you to come minister to us through the word, Lord, corporately. And we, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as a teacher to come and direct us, Lord, to lead us into truth, God, and to come and speak in and through us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, last time we had a look at this picture. I'll touch on it again this morning, and we'll move a bit on. If you haven't seen any of these, this is David, my son, a couple of months ago. He's 7 months now, so this must be more than a year ago, actually, or almost a year ago. But Just to recap a bit, but why I used this picture was this is the the beginning part of the pregnancy is often the most difficult one. And some of you, and to be really honest, obviously I've never been pregnant, but I've shared in the experience with Erna. And what was said, just for those that weren't there, is the reason why it's difficult, or maybe even more so for the guy, for the husband, is because there's no evidence. Except maybe if your wife is very, you know, very nauseous, which also happens. But you've done some tests, and the tests say yes, and you've maybe done some more tests, some blood tests, but you know, you haven't really seen any real, you know, those could be all go wrong. So we were saying that this is the most difficult part. It's challenging because, yes, the doctors have said so and the tests have said so, but you haven't seen anything, you haven't heard anything from the baby itself, if you know what I mean. So this first scan is often, for me, both times around, it was really just amazing to be there and to see, wow, there is a baby in there and he's moving and is this life happening. It's absolutely mind-boggling. And often when we started speaking about faith, we started speaking about the concept of faith, and that is often how faith works. Is often there's a place where we've received promises from God, we've received words, but we have not seen anything yet. And that's kind of what we're looking at. So we're going to look at a little bit more of that. And part of the key that I want to look at this morning is that if we're going to be able to stand on the promises of God for our lives, if we're going to be able wanting to trust God for stuff and for what He promises in His Word, then firstly we need to know what that is, His Word for us is, and we need to receive, you know, the prophecies or the promises, or whichever form they come, we need to receive those from God. And many years ago, when I wasn't married, I can't remember if I told you this story, but the Lord had me pray for my wife and my family. And I think I must have been a student at the time. But I remember specifically one day, that it was quite a long time, and I just felt I must really go and pray now. And it was such an amazing experience. It was such an amazing encounter with God. Because although I was a student, you know, when you're a student, you're not really thinking about marriage and children and stuff like that. Thanks, Josh. But it was amazing how God just really urged me to go out and pray. And I don't think even I'd met Erna then. But I prayed for quite a lot of time, a long time. And the Lord gave me specific words for my children as well. And that's, as you know, well, many of you know that later on we really struggled to conceive. And I remember how God reminded me of those times where even before I was married, before I'd met Erna, before there was even a, you know, there was just a hope that I would get married. And I didn't have a clue about children, but the Lord gave me very specific words and very specific promises and stuff to and pray to, and prophesy over my family. And I remember in those difficult times, that season where the doctors were saying we cannot have children, the Lord had to remind me of His Word for us. And so that was such a critical point for us, because at that stage it was difficult for us to receive Word because we were having a faith crisis. Okay, but the Lord could remind us of what He had already given us. And what also happened is in that time specifically, it was quite funny. For many months, we were kind of hoping, you know, expectation every month, and there's a lot of disappointment. And at one stage, I remember Anna actually was preparing herself the whole time for, and that's part of the faith walk, I suppose, is to trust God and to actually move in terms of receiving the promise. But it was a difficult part because she was adjusting her life so that in case she fell pregnant, it would be okay. So she didn't have any alcohol at all, and you know she would be careful how she exercised and stuff like that, because you know there wasn't a possibility that she might be pregnant. And this went on for quite a long time. And I remember, funny enough, that the month that we were kind of almost, you know, saying, "Oh, you know what? This is crazy. We're stressing about this every month, and there's such a lot of stress around us and lots of disappointment and trusting God, etc. There was a time where we were on our way to South Africa, and it was really a hectic month, and we almost decided we'll just kind of relax about this. Anna, for the first time in months, had one or two drinks on holiday. It's not like she just went ballistic, but she just have alcohol, and you know, we didn't worry about, you know, exercise, how, you know, being careful about stuff. And funny enough, it was that month that we found out that we were pregnant. But that exact month was with two people contacted us. People, the one specifically we hadn't seen literally in years, hadn't had contact in years, and she said she had a dream that Anna was pregnant. And there was another lady as well in the congregation that also sent us a message that she had a dream. Such a blessing that even in that tough time, even in that critical, that faith crisis point, the Lord was continuing to affirm His word and confirm His promise. And what a blessing, yeah, that, I mean, now obviously we have the second one here already. But let's have a look at this concept of faith a little bit from Scripture. Let's look at Ephesians 11. I'm just going to add a few bits from last time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's just pause there. So that's exactly what happens when you hear you're pregnant. You have hope and you have faith, but you have not yet seen anything. You have not yet, you know, haven't touched or seen. You have not yet got the substance. But that faith is actually that thing. Before you receive the promise, you already have something. You have a substance of something that you're still hoping for. Okay, let's continue. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's pause there. That's referring to how Christ, our God, spoke creation into being. And so, in other words, the words, invisible words, framed the universe all around us. Crazy concept. And let's continue. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay. So we see this concept of faith. If you carry on through the chapter, we'll go up to there for now. But go and read it again, the whole chapter 11. As we mentioned last time, there was a couple of guys there specifically that stand out. And all of them had taken a hold of the promise of God and had embraced it and have moved according to what God was saying, although they could yet not see anything of it. And we're going to continue a little bit in the same thread this week, specifically around the life of Abraham. Okay, so let's go on to that. Genesis 22, I'm going to read quite a bit. Okay, so just hang in there with me. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you, on one of the mountains. So Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Excuse me. Then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abram, again, already there, he's got a hope in his heart. You see there, he says, we will come back. So Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now he's obviously put two and two together. So this is a bit weird. What are we going to sacrifice? And then, again, Abram's answer already showing us where his heart is at in terms of trusting God. He said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abram, Abram." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and I have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Very, very powerful there at the end. And amazingly, we're all included in this blessing. Right there, every one of us sitting here has been blessed because of Abram's faith. And because of him choosing to trust God, even in a crazy situation like this. I mean, a couple of parents here, you know, this is one of those, this is the difficult one, guys. Because how can God say something like this to a parent? How can he, knowing that he would provide something even, how can he have Abram go through this process? It must be the worst possible thing. But see how Abram already has an expectation in his heart, in the way he speaks to his son. He's got an expectation in his heart that God is not going to have him go through with this. But the amazing thing is that he's obedient to the point of tying his son down and raising the knife. Even if you're not a parent this morning, there come times in our lives where I believe where God has us require stuff from us, and it sometimes feels to us like this is too big. This is just, I cannot give this to God. It may not be a child. It may be a situation. It may be a relationship. It may be a hope that you have. It might be a plan or a thing that you want to do. It might be, it might even be something, a hurt or something that God, you know, that you've experienced that God wants to help heal. That wants to deal with. You know, wants to help you to deal with. But it's almost too painful, and it's almost to a place that you feel this is going too far. I cannot give this to God. Are you with me? And I just want to encourage us that when God brings us to that point, we can find encouragement from Abram, knowing that God has already made a way for us. And that in every time in our relationship with God, in every stage, we can have this absolute confidence that he has the absolute best in his heart for us. Even when it feels like this, even when it feels like this is too painful, this is too big, this is too traumatic, even in that moment, we can have the confidence that God is, his ways are higher, he knows what he's doing. I don't know, I don't see the big picture, I can trust him. And we see this with Abram. How powerful is this? When God speaks to him, he doesn't fast and pray about it for 3 weeks. He doesn't call his friends, doesn't say anything, but it doesn't look like it because it says the next morning. And since they didn't have telephones and stuff, I'm assuming. But it's not like he spent weeks thinking about this. I don't know about you. I don't know. I've never been in this situation. But there have been situations where God has asked me stuff that was difficult for me. And I, to be honest, I've experienced that if I take long, if I think about it, it gets more difficult. It's better to do it you know, as quickly as possible to move in obedience when God speaks. And so what an amazing testimony is Abram immediately moved in obedience. And without having seen God's provision. And now remember the bigger context here, okay? Abram had moved out of from where he was. He was doing really well. He was a wealthy guy. God said, okay, let's move. And he didn't tell him where to go. So he packed up all his stuff and he's going. He's stepping out in faith here. He's trusting this God that he hasn't known very long. He's putting everything on the line. He's got no plan B. He's packed up all his stuff, right? And he's going with God. And he's going on a promise that God is going to bless him with descendants like many. Okay, he said, the descendants is the stars of the heaven and sand on the seashore. So he's going on this promise. And up to this stage, he's had no children, right? And now he's had a son. At least there's a sign. There's a start. Okay, and he's only had one, but now at least there's something. And now God requires this of him. Are you with me? This makes no sense. If it was me, I'd probably think, no, this can't be God. God's blessed me. This son is a miracle. You know, this is amazing. This can't be God. But right there, and I think as parents and even in different situations, we need to continually keep our hearts open for what God wants to do. That dream, I had a dream about where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. That dream that is so big, it's so important to me that I won't let God near it. That one is probably the one that God's going to ask you about. Or that relationship that you don't want to talk to other believers about it, or you don't want to, you don't want to pray about it even because you have a suspicion that God's going to give you a bad answer or wrong answer. I've been in those. Not many, but it was many years ago. But it's amazing how when we actually bring it before God, and it's not always a negative thing. Sometimes God affirms His promise. Sometimes He affirms what you've already have in your heart. But it's often the stuff that we feel we cannot take to God. Those are the things we actually need to take to Him. Okay, let's go on. I don't think I'm going to get through everything. We'll continue another time. Okay. All right, so I just want to read another scripture which isn't actually on the... I was supposed to have a dual display. Okay, I'm just going to quote it, okay? Scripture in Mark, where basically Jesus says that he who prays should pray in faith, believing that he has received it, and then he will have it. Okay, that's quite a well-known one. But you see, this guy got his tenses mixed up. Did you see that? Even me, as a non-English person, can recognize that. How can he be receive it before he will, and then he says, and then he will have it? It doesn't make sense, does it? Are you with me? But that's how faith works, because he says you will pray believing that you have received it. You know, past tense, he's already received it. And he says, and then he will have it. And that is how it works. It's a place where you and I come before God, we receive His promise, and we say, yes, God, I take this with both hands. I receive it. Those words that God gave us about children, yes, thank you, Lord. There's no children in sight. In fact, God says, the doctors say otherwise, or there's no, at that stage, you know, way back, there was no wife even in sight. But there's a place, there's a substance there because it's the word, it's the promise of God. And I can take it and say, yes, God, I receive it as if it's already there. And then scriptures, and then you will have it. And that's a challenge. It's always, that's the faith, that's the part of the faith crisis, is where the provision or the word is there, the promise is there. But then the miracle hasn't yet happened. It hasn't yet come to pass. There's a leak. There's almost like that little bit. Like the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, where they had the five loaves and two fish. Okay, so this they have this little bit of food. They've got 5,000 plus people, and they receive the provision that God has there. Okay, wow, this is what we got. Doesn't look like a lot. And there's the faith crisis there. Jesus prays for it. He blesses it. I can just imagine him giving it to the disciples. But now this is the faith crisis. Now I've got like a little bit because he actually divided it up. So he divided the 5 loaves between the 12 guys. So, I mean, you didn't even have a whole loaf. You had like, and now you had to go and feed like what? Couple, 1,000, 2,000 people. So that's the faith crisis. Between the place of receiving the word or receiving a thing and then realizing, oh my goodness, this is not looking good. And actually seeing the miracle happen as you move in obedience. And this is what Abraham saw. He received the promise, he received the instruction, he started to move, and then as he moved in obedience, the miracle happened and the provision was there, right there with him. Okay, let's continue. Okay. So in terms of that, I want to say to you, even when we in that valley, the most difficult situation that you can imagine, like Abram's here. In that place, I want to say to you, God's goodness is still 100% for you. And His faithfulness is still 100% for you. And if you're in that struggle, and if you're in that moment, make sure that you don't isolate yourself. We're going to get to that again. Make sure that you surround yourself with people that can remind you. And some friends that can stand with you and say, no, but you know what? God's goodness is with you. His provision is with you. His faithfulness is for you. Okay. All right. I want to just touch on. We looked at Gideon a bit last time. I want to just point out a few more points from this situation. I won't be able to read all of it, but I'll just touch on a few again here. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was an Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Okay, let's just do the next bit. And then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you. You shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from me from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." Okay, I'm not going to read all of it, but we see here, again, we see the promise of God, but we see in the beginning here that Gideon is not in a good space. Okay, he's in a bit of a hole, physically and also in terms of faith. Because when the Lord comes to him, when the angel of the Lord comes to him, he says to him, says, "Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you, mighty man." Immediately he says, "No, but it's not true. God is not with. How can God be with us if?" And then he gives him the scenario. And how often do we have that same challenge? And we're sitting in the tough spot, or we're looking at the world around us, or as a congregation, we're looking at the challenges we face, and we're saying, "But how is it possible?" And we see that there was a legacy. There was a legacy of trusting God, and there was a legacy of miracles, right? Because he says, "And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about?" So there was something there, but it's as if through the tough time that they've been through, that expectation of the supernatural had disappeared. Because it was there. They said, "But you know, our fathers have been telling us about the miracles. They had experienced them, but we haven't seen them," type of thing. And he says, "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So So Gideonite is not in a good space. He's obviously in fear. He's hiding away. He can't see the goodness of God. He can't see that God is for them. And he's really struggling with this thing. But it's amazing how God, how the Lord speaks to him. Because although I believe he understood where Gideon was at, he ignores all the moaning. Can you see this? And he says, go in this might of yours. And he says, have I not sent you? And then he questions it. I'm the weakest, I'm the least, I'm the small, the smallest, etc. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you. And you will defeat the Midianites as one man. So there's a few things here. Firstly, and that's why, again, what's critical for us to know the Word of God for our situation. Okay, so a friend of mine, Pastor Sias, he always uses the example of the creative power of the Word of God. He says, you know, Gert's shirt is red. You know, if Jesus were to come in here this morning and he would say, wow, Gert, look at that nice green shirt, then everywhere we think, wow, it's a bit odd. But then it will turn green when Jesus says it, because of the creative power of the Word of God. Are you with me? Because when God says something, it has creative power. It becomes that. Are you with me? The funny thing about Pastor Sias is that he's colorblind. Okay. So what he does is he would say, you know, that beautiful green shirt that Gert is wearing, and then everybody's like, what? It's not green. In any case. So it's backfired on him a bit, a few times, but he still does it. I don't know, maybe it's for entertainment. But the powerful thing here is we clearly see, and Gideon recognizes that he's not a mighty man of valor. He doesn't see it. It's not there. He hasn't seen it. It hasn't happened. He seriously can't associate with that. Okay, but God speaks the word over him. Creative word of God. And that word starts to create in him truth. Okay. And a couple of verses in a chapter and a half or so later, we see Gideon actually coming to a place where he receives the word. And he also believes it. Okay, now that word has been working, has been creating, and that life that is spoken over him is starting to manifest. Okay. But let's quickly have a look. Okay, just in terms of that quickly, let's stand still on that quickly. Guys, and this I reckon something that is a word for us in this season, okay, is that we have to watch what we say. We have to be careful of what comes over our lips. Okay. So on the one hand, there's amazing blessing. The scripture says that death and life and death are in the power of the tongue. Okay. So in every situation, you and I have a choice to make whether we're going to proclaim life or we're going to proclaim death. And I must admit, even as a parent, it's something that you have to continually watch how I speak to my children, what do I say when Abby's being a challenge. She's got a little will. Her will is quite a little, you know, it's growing, you know, and it's coming out quite strongly. But I have to continually, watch myself and watch how I speak to her so that I do not pronounce things over her. Okay, so if she's doing something ridiculous, I can say to her, listen, this, what you did is ridiculous, but I can still affirm her as a person. Are you with me? So I can talk about the thing that she did which was wrong, but I have to still say it in a way that affirms her as my daughter and as a person. Are you with me? So, and I want to encourage us, okay, how powerful is this example that by the end of this whole thing, you know, that they overcome this incredible army with 300 guys, and it's just 100% God, 100% supernatural, okay? But at the end there, let me just jump to that very quickly. And we'll maybe go back to some of this. And then just before they attack the guys, just as Gideon said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, and all you and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Okay, how's this? This is the guy, this is the same guy that said, no, no way it's going to happen. I'm the weakest clan and the least of my father's house. And I'm you know, it's like all these reasons why there's no way it's going to happen. And now somewhere in between here, he's dealt with his fear. Okay, he's received the word of God. He's actually started to believe it. And now he's so bold that he's actually saying, listen, when we go for it, we tell them the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Powerful shift that has happened in this guy's heart. He has received the word of God, and the word of God has created in him the will of God. And now he's actually bold enough to proclaim it. Okay, so in terms of our situations and and specifically and also in a family situation, know what the word of God is so that you can proclaim it over your situation. So if you don't know, if you're struggling through something, if you're confused about something, if you're wrestling through something, it's so critical, guys, for us to know what God's word is for the situation. Okay? So that we can speak it. Remember last time I was here, we spoke about the valley of the dead bones? That prophet, he had to get the word from God and then speak it, prophesy it over the dead bones to have any result. So I want to encourage us. If it's your family, and as we do with baby dedications, we trust God for prophetic words. We trust God for words from God for the children, and then we speak it over them. And we continue to do that, guys. I want to encourage you. That's a tough thing because you don't see it yet. Okay, at the moment, sometimes Abby is really a challenge. She's an amazing little girl. Okay, don't get me wrong. She's really a blessing. But there are moments where she really pushes the limits, you know. But at the same time, it's important for me to recognize, okay, I need to continue to speak the word of God over her. I need to continue to, you know, say, yes, you know what, you're going to be an amazing worship leader one day, or whatever the words that God has given us, or you're going to be an amazing leader. Or continue to affirm, continue to confirm the word, and to continue to prophesy it over her. Whether she's there to hear it or not, whether I prayed over her, but to continue to speak it over her. And not only in terms of people, but your situation as well. Okay? And what I want to notice here about Gideon, what I want us to notice here is that it's not like he immediately said, yes, let's do it. Okay, Abram was at that point. He said, yes, let's go. Gideon, no. He said, no, the Lord is not with us. You know, he was like, no, it's not going well, you know. And then the Lord had to show him a miracle right there, and that helped. He realized, oh my goodness, this was God type of thing. And then, you know, remember the thing with the fleece? He asked for signs, he asked for confirmations, and there were two confirmations. And then even the Lord had him listen to a dream that one of the Midianites had of how they were going to be overrun, just to confirm again. So there's a lot of confirmation happening. There's a lot of doubting happening, but there's also a lot of confirmation happening. What I see here is that Gideon didn't run away, okay? But he wasn't full of faith yet, but at least he was engaging with God. That's what I'm saying. So when you get a word from God, or you feel God requires something of you, like with Abram, don't ignore God. Don't say, oh man, this is not happening. I don't want to hear it. No, I don't want to go there. No, I don't want to work in that place. No, I don't want to minister to that person. Or like Jonah, don't pull a Jonah. At least engage with God. Like Gideon says, Lord, you know, I don't see this happening, type of thing. Can you confirm with me? Can you confirm for me that this is what you're saying? And so I want to say, guys, the worst thing that we do, and we do it often, unfortunately, we isolate ourselves and we ignore God about this thing. We don't get counsel from other people and we don't hear from God about this difficult thing. So I want to say, don't do that. Engage with God. Say, Lord, show me, give me a sign, talk to people around you that you know that hear from God, that trust, that you know that you can trust. Get that input, so that you can receive the word of God for you for that situation. And once you have the conviction, yes, this is it, then speak it over the situation. Prophesy over it. Pray for it. Get other people to agree with you in prayer over that situation. Amen. the word of God for you for that moment. Okay. And whether it be with you, whether you're married or not, or you're going to have children, or you have them already, you're going to have them someday, or you have a desire, pray over that. Okay? Pray over it, prophesy over it, trust God for His word over it. And write it down. Amen? That's the only thing I'm upset about, is that specifically that one day that I remember that was really quite a big chunk of, I never wrote that stuff down. I didn't have a pen and paper with me out in the bush somewhere. But write it down, because then you can go and remind God, remind yourself and remind God of what He's promised. Amen. Okay. Okay. let's just go back a little bit here. I just want to point out one thing here. Okay, so there was a place here where firstly, okay, Gideon dealt with the fear, because he had to deal with the Baal idols that God told him to tear down that his dad had put up. So he dealt with that. He did it at night, okay, because he was afraid. But he dealt with those idols, and the Baal thing often signifies fear. So he dealt with that, which put him in a point we could actually, you know, receive from God better. But then there was another powerful shift that happened here. And then, let me just read from this bit here, verse 33. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. And the Bizrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also gathered behind him, also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So this is another big shift that happened in Gideon's life, that the Spirit of God came upon him. And isn't this great news, guys, that we don't have to do this in our own strength, we don't have to make it happen, we don't have to prophesy and do all these things out of our own human, you know, strength, but by the Spirit of God. That's the only way it's going to happen. To be honest with you, if I have to speak over Abigail just out of myself, it's going to be great, but some days it's going to be very difficult. But by the Spirit of God, it's the only way. I mean, but not by Yaku's, you know, me psyching myself up and saying, yes, you know, I really believe it, positive thinking. No, but by the Spirit of God, by the power of the resurrection power of Christ. And we see here that the moment the Spirit of God came upon him and he blew the trumpet, it started mobilizing the people around him, and they joined him. All from all over, supernaturally. So this guy, this nowhere, nobody knows this guy. Who's this guy? Okay, he himself obviously wasn't convinced about his qualifications, but supernaturally now, some, you know, people are gathering, and from all over, guys are joining to form an army. Okay, so guys, absolutely critical for us to do this in relationship and in continually communing with the Holy Spirit. What's God's word for my situation? I want to encourage you, if you're in a small group, do the same. Trust God. Lord, what's your word for us as a small group? What is your word for us for this season? And then pray it. I was so blessed the other guys, the other day, with some of the London guys, the Wimbledon district, in the small group. The word that they got for the season that they need to seek God about, what does the kingdom look like, and what does the kingdom look like in our lives? What would it look like if the kingdom were to come within our lives? And so now they're searching, you know, looking at scripture and then looking, you know, bringing stuff together. But that's a powerful word, and the more scripture is coming, and the more word God is going to get put in, the more they're going to be able to say, wow, yes, we're going to pray this. I might not see it now, but I want to be able to see it. Okay. All right. I think I'm gonna close here. Let's stand to this morning. You're gonna stand with me. I mentioned this last time. I just want to, for those that weren't here, that when Pastor Tiens was here, and if you haven't listened to his message, if you missed it, please go and download it. what was it, the first weekend in March. And what one of the things he mentioned was that, he didn't mention it in the sermon, we mentioned it in some other context, but it's as if when we come to Europe, we experience a difference in expectation of God and our expectation of the Holy Spirit, of the supernatural. And I've experienced the same thing, but in an opposite way. When we go to Africa on mission trips, because the guys there have experienced such a lot of supernatural things, it's as if they have an expectation of the supernatural, right? So, and I just want to say again, that it's as if when we go there, we pray for the sick, people get healed. Because they've seen stuff like that, they have an expectation that there is something like a supernatural. And it's as if they are more open. It's as if their ceiling of what is possible for God is way up there. And it's stuff happens, okay? Well, I mean, yeah, crazy things. Remember the last time, one of the times we went to India, we prayed for a lot of sick people. I would say there's a language barrier, so you don't know exactly what's happening, kind of, is it better type of thing, but you're not sure what's happening, a lot of people, a bit of chaos, you know. And I remember the one year we went back, and I was so blessed because we went to the same church, and then the pastor said, yes, remember this lady, you prayed for her, and I said, yes, and said, yeah, she got healed, and then all these testimonies came out, all these miracles that happened the last time we were there, and we didn't have a clue, you know, we were just kind of hoping for the best. But it's really as if there's such an expectation of the supernatural. Obviously, there's a other side of it as well. There's the demonic, which is also very real. We won't go into that. But Jensen mentioned, and I recognize it as well, that it's as if here that the ceiling of our expectation from God is kind of pushing down on us by this, what society is like and what, you know, society, even just people, even this. Because here, because of the corporate, the lack of expectation of the supernatural. Are you with me? So it's if the ceiling of what could be possible is right here. It's almost pressing down on us. What is possible for God? What can I expect God? If I pray, you know, can I trust God for healing a headache? Yeah, I'm thinking that's a bit of a stretch, you know, maybe. Because it's as if that expectation is right here. And I want to, you know, I remember, you know, I was telling you guys last time about the ridiculous things we used to trust God for. I want to say, guys, it's time, and this is the season we, as a congregation, we need to get rid of the ceiling. The ceiling of what is possible for God. Get rid of this limit on the expectation of what can God do in my and through my life. You know, it's as if we like the Gideon saying, no, I don't see that happening, no. This is the smallest, or I'm the weakest, or no, you know what? But God, but to receive that word and to continue to speak it over our situation. Okay. I want to use the same example that I did last time, just for those that weren't here, is that we trust God for healings and sometimes, and we trust God for miracles sometimes. But it's as if there's almost a limit even there for what is possible for God, okay? So I personally know at least two people that have prayed for people. I know the people personally that have prayed, right? And they've seen people raised from the dead. Okay, so it's a big one. I haven't seen it personally. I wasn't there. But somehow in our rational mind, some people will kind of try and rationalize it. No, there was this situation, and then this happened, and then the guy started breathing again, type of thing. Okay, but I told you about this, the guy with the eye, right? The glass eye. Yeah, some of you missed it. So there's this guy that he was blind. He lost the eye. So he had a glass eye, and then he was prayed for. I'm not sure who it was that prayed for him. One of these guys that came from America, in any case. So he got healed. Okay. So now, how do you think that worked? Okay, now, the challenge was that he still had the glass eye. But now he could see. And he could see whether it was in or out. Okay, this is really weird. But you see how for our brains it starts hurting now. Because how can that be? How can that be possible? It's as if we can believe God for so many things, but there's almost there's something, there's a limit there for what is possible with God. I'm trusting with, together with you guys, that we're going to come to a place again where we will trust God for the absolutely ridiculous. How do you take on an army of a gazillion people with 300 men? That's ridiculous. But let's come, let's trust God to come to a place where we trust God for the absolute ridiculous. Amen? Because He is the God of the impossible. He with Him, God, have you ever looked at the creation account that God created light before the sun? Okay, let's not spend too much time on that. But you know, there's lots of stuff that just bends your mind. It just, But that's the God we serve. It's the God that goes beyond stuff that makes sense. It's beyond anything that's rational. And He's the God that wants us to get out of this box. Amen? Amen. So let's pray this morning. There's a few specific things. Okay, we're going to pray through. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, that for each person here, God, You know exactly where they're at, Father. Thank You for each one of us here, and even us as a congregation, Lord. You know what You have prepared for us, God. God, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray for that You just get rid of every ceiling, Lord. Every limit, Lord. Every box. Every confinement, Lord, that limits our expectation of You, Father. And our expectation of Your goodness towards us. Our expectation of what is possible for You, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I thank You, God, for a release, God, to trust You for the absolutely impossible, to extend our faith for what sounds ridiculous, Lord, what sounds completely impossible, Father. Thank You that You are the God of the impossible. Thank You, Lord, that when You are our limit, Lord, there is no limit, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, that when You say in Your word that it's Your desire for all men to be saved, God, that we can in our hearts decide and choose to believe that, yes, God, it is Your desire to see the whole of our nation safe, God. This nation turn to You, Father. And it's absolutely preposterous, Lord. We don't know how it's going to happen, Father, but we know it's Your desire, Father. And we just pray, I just pray for every heart here in the name of Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit this morning, that You create in us, Lord, again, a desire and a capacity, Father, to trust You, God, for the impossible, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I thank You even for that place that we will continue to engage You, Father. Like Gideon, Lord, that we will not ignore You in the difficult bits, Lord, not run away, Lord, but continue to seek You, Father. What is Your word for us right now, us as a congregation? What is Your word for us here in London? What is Your word for me in my situation, God? And I pray for a boldness amongst us, God, to continue to seek You, God, with an expectation that You are good, Lord. And even in the worst of situations, like Abraham found himself in, he had a hope and he had a confidence of Your goodness and Your provision, Lord. And this morning we thank You for that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. In the worst of the worst, Lord, even in the darkest valley, thank You, God, that Your goodness is for us. And You have gone before us, God. And You have made provision for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I just feel, Lord, as eyes are closed this morning, I just feel there's one or two people here that have really gone through really tough struggles personally. And I just feel God is saying that you need just lift up your head and look to Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's as if He's saying, when you come to Me, you don't have to grovel, you don't have to beg, you don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of stuff that has come against you, but You are My son, You are My daughter, You are My child. And when you draw near, you can lift your head, you can come with confidence, because I love You. I've paid the highest price for You. I've given everything so that You can have a relationship with Me again. Thank You, Lord. I just thank You, Lord, that You remove every fear of rejection in the name of Jesus. You remove every fear of failure, God. And I thank You for Your children this morning, for us, for a boldness, God, to draw near to You, God, in Jesus' name. Yes, God. Amen.